Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And this is live tonight. This is Friday the 13th. I hope nobody out there is superstitious. It's been a wonderful day for me, so I hope it's not going to carry over if anybody is superstitious anyway. But this is May the 13th, so it is a live show tonight. Okay, and I don't know if we have anything else to report. You know, we did a lot last week. We do want to remind everyone that we are getting ready for our conference. And this is our sixth transformational conference in Rogers, Arkansas, is where we're going to have it. And this is June the 10th to the 12th.
Right.
3 days. Mm-hmm. And Julia's here, too, so we're going to be talking to our guests and about the show, and about the conference and everything. The we always have a lot of really good keynote speakers, and one of the things I use this conference for is to introduce our new authors and our books we publish. It kind of helps them get their feet wet. A lot of them have never done any public speaking before, and so we like to let them get a taste of it. That's one of the main reasons we started the conference 6 years ago, and it turned out to be really good.
Very good.
And so that's why up from now, up until the conference, we are interviewing the speakers on our show. So tonight we have one of these that we just published his book, and I think it just came out, didn't it, a month or so ago?
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it is a new book. This is Walter Pullen. And are you there, Walter?
Yes, I am. Greetings, everyone.
Okay. And you're in Seattle.
Yes, I am. The other corner of the country.
Is it cold up there? Is it cold over there or what?
It's moderate. It's balanced. It's sunny right now.
Well, at least you're not getting all the flooding and the storms and the tornadoes like we've gone through.
Yeah, I feel very fortunate about that.
Because that's all we've had is just warm storm after the other. And if we live on a mountaintop. Otherwise, I think we would have been buried with it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're lucky there, but we even had another storm last night, and another tornado was not too far away over in Oklahoma. So I think they're going to give us a week break now because it's going to start getting cooler.
And who's that giving us the break?
Well, the Mother Nature, the powers that be.
Okay.
At least we didn't have to go anywhere during this couple of weeks we've had all these storms anyway. But they're going to get a real bad one down in the floods have caused the river to swell, and it's headed toward New Orleans now. So I'm glad we're not down there right now. Okay, but I want to give out the toll-free number in case anybody wants to call in and ask questions tonight, because we're going to be talking about a large variety of subjects. The toll-free number is 1-888-815-9756, 888-815-9756, and we would like it if people do call in if they stick with the topic that we're discussing.
Right, ask questions of Walter.
Yeah, on his
mm-hmm.
book.
Right.
Okay, the book that Walter wrote is called The Evolution of the Spirit, and that was the one we've just published.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
we got
Our Journey Through the Universe.
Okay, we got it right here in front of us, Walter.
Great.
Okay, but before we get into the book, I always like for the authors to talk about themselves. So tell everybody about your background and how you got into writing the book and all of that. Talk about yourself.
Well, I started as a scientist, or from a science background. And my family has been, you know, approach things from the more intellectual level, but also still philosophical and with an appreciation of nature. So I didn't grow up spiritual, but I did have, I think, a good background to lead me to a path. And I like to say that there were at least a few things that I grew up with and always believed in, so to speak. And those three things were, I've always known that we are not alone in the universe, and I've always known that crystals and pyramids are special and have power to them, and special energy to them. And everything else I've either learned in this lifetime or rediscovered in this lifetime. So it's like I became involved in the spiritual path around the time when the New Age movement started becoming popular. So, like, for example, when Shirley MacLaine became publicized. So I remember seeing, like, her on The Tonight Show demonstrating the chakras, and that was really meaningful to me, and that really moved me and let me know that there were things other than just the material things that we see before us. And so, you know, there was a bit of a struggle. I mean, learning about things such as karma and reincarnation, those are things I had to think about for a while in order to really accept as a part of my belief system. And so I gradually grew into those things, and then later started becoming more aware of the service or oneness aspects of it. In other words, when I first became aware of spirituality, I thought of it mostly in a sense of psychic development.
Uh-huh.
And more of like personal development. And, you know, that's part of the path. We grow and we learn and we strive for more. But it took a little bit later for me to realize that it's not really all about us. It's about, or it's not really about me, but it's about, or not about the individual, but about all of us together. And so learning about oneness has been a theme in this lifetime. And so I call myself like a student of oneness, and that's like one of the main concepts I try to share in the book.
Okay, well, how do you define oneness?
Well, oneness is like just realizing that we all compose a greater being together. In other words, we often just think of ourselves as like personal individuals, which we are, but
yeah.
There's a bit more to it than that. So we can realize that there are other levels of consciousness or being that we can compose together or even within us. Like, for example, within our own bodies, we have organs that are alive and can be healthy or unhealthy on their own. And even deeper still, we have cells in our body, and each of those is alive. And deeper still, we have atoms, where each atom has its own life.
Mm-hmm.
And so going the other direction, like knowing like Mother Earth is one great being, and on it she has continents, each of which is alive and can be in various states of health. And going down deeper, then there's each of us are like cells in the body of the human race. And on other levels, like, you know, a family is like a being that we can all compose, and even other abstract things like the internet is alive in a way of looking at it. And so oneness just means realizing that, you know, that we are all in the same boat, so to speak, and that everyone that we see, even those that serve different roles or that we may disagree with on an outer level, you know, they are our brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. This is what I always tell people. Within our own bodies, we have universes. If they think of the cells and the organs and everything is alive.
Absolutely.
Same way of thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we are cells in the body of God, really, whenever you think about it.
Absolutely. And, of course, an atom looks like a miniature solar system in some respects.
Right.
Yeah, they are. You know, even before I really got involved in all of this, I noticed that mm-hmm. it was like the nucleus, mm-hmm. and then you have the atoms around it. It was like little revolving solar systems before I even knew about the other parts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really shows the concept of as above, so below.
Yeah, microcosm to the macrocosm.
Yeah, and another analogy I like to use for oneness, especially being in the Pacific Northwest, which features many large trees, is that of a tree where there's the trunk, there's a whole tree of in and of itself, but then there's the trunk, and then there's different branches, and then the branches have smaller branches, and then twigs, and then finally leaves, where we could see ourselves as leaves, but if we look deeper or look toward the trunk, we realize that we're all connected and part of the same tree.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. because we all are part of the same thing.
Indeed. And so then we can realize that that we can play different roles in the one being that we all form, and we can respect those different roles. And so, like, using the human body as an example, you know, our stomach plays an important role in processing food, but it has, you know, stomach acid in it such that if that got in other parts of the body, that would be harmful. So we can, like, recognize the different roles that we play and respect each other for those roles or views that we have.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. That's a very good point. Wow. To get the broader perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or even like a tree again. I like trees.
We live with the woods all around our house, so we have lots of trees.
Well, and I'm just thinking it's funny because that tree thing came up this week and something else that was going on, and you just totally confirmed something that I had said in the process, and it's just so funny that, you know, I guess for some reason that needed confirmation. I don't know, but...
symbolism.
Right, I don't know, yeah. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, but yeah, so another thing about a tree is that the branches go in different directions, and that mm-hmm. helps provide balance. And so they lean in their own ways, and so they have their own focuses and directions, but that helps provide the balance. So, you know, you can look at that in relation to, for example, politics, where sometimes there's a lot of disagreement in areas for that. But really, I kind of like the diversity of opinion in our country and others, where the different views people have helps provide the balance and ensure that, like, we don't lean too far in one direction or the other.
Yeah.
But going back to your analogy of the tree, too, you've got to remember the roots, and there you go down, but it's actually the same thing as a mirror image. If the top part of the tree is in the roots, because they all go in different directions underground also.
Oh, yes, that is very good. So, yeah, so even like growing up or growing down, it's both growth.
Uh-huh. And they're all individual.
Yeah. Right, and it's absolutely necessary, or it would, like, yeah, it would be out of balance, or it would die, or it would whatever. So,
Yeah,
wow.
And I guess that means, like, in life where sometimes we have challenging experiences, and if you think of those as, like, roots that are growing, quote-unquote, downward, then the deeper the roots go, the stronger the tree is.
Yes,
where
it
if
needs
you have
that
the shallow
base.
Roots.
It needs that base to support the upper part. Otherwise, the tree would fall over.
Exactly. And certainly all the long experiences that we've had, either in this lifetime or over many lifetimes, helps give us that anchor and that stability. Or as the saying goes, in order to be old and wise, we must first be young and foolish. I like that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what you've got in the book. You have so much you can talk about. Let me back up for a minute, though. What do you do for a living, Walter?
Well, I've been a computer programmer for many years.
Uh-huh.
And that was something, again, part of the technical background. Although I've recently made a transition, and so I'm no longer working where I used to, and so definitely in these transformational times, I'm transforming as well.
Well, that's good. You know.
A lot of shifting going on right now, isn't there?
Yes, both for me and when we look around the world, we see that many people are going through changes.
Yes.
Okay, well, your book is full of information. We could talk on many, many topics. But I wanted to know, where did your information come from?
Well, it came from a multitude of sources. And so really, it's the four different sources. And some are just standard references, picking up from other reliable sources, such as much of it is inspired by the Theosophical Society or writings or related writings from classical theosophical authors. And then some of it is just personal experiences. And that's another, I mean, I try to keep myself out of the book. I don't use the word I very much in it. But certainly many things are just like, you know, we learn over time what works and what doesn't, at least for us, and then we can share some of those things. And so, you know, personal experiences play a major role in what goes into a book like this. And then I guess in order to avoid just rephrasing things, there's what I call deduction, where some of it's just sitting back and looking at the information that's out there and saying, like, well, are there any other additional insights I can provide in this area, or ways of collecting it together or expressing it in a clearer fashion, perhaps for today's audience? And so just deductions. And then finally, intuitions. It's like, in a sense, channeling in a sense to, like, just what just feels true to you. And so all four of those areas combined together have composed the information in the book.
Okay. So you're more or less like an accumulator of information.
Yeah.
And then you sift through it to see, you know, what you make your own deductions from it then.
Exactly. And so definitely evolution of the spirit I see is somewhat of like a summary of the spiritual path, where I've endeavored to bring the different areas of spiritual growth together. And because there's a lot of different areas that one can focus on, because spirituality is such a vast and beautiful area. And I've been wanting to, I guess, like, bring it all together. Maybe it's the Sagittarius in me, but to just bring it to get together the concepts of, like, philosophies of love, or understanding, like, you know, extraterrestrials and philosophies of karma and reincarnation and how our planet is growing, and just try to bring them all together and perhaps compose a rainbow of them, so that then one doesn't see the individual parts of the book, but can hopefully see the rainbow as a whole, as a encompassing, beautiful state of energy.
Well, that's the same way I am as a writer. I'm just interested in all of it. I don't just focus on one subject. There are just so many parts to all of this, and each one is interesting. And there's a lot of people out there, they say, I don't agree with you, but then there's so many different ways of looking at any truth, any spiritual knowledge. It can be interpreted in many different ways, too. But that's
that
reporter in
true.
Me, anyway, in the curiosity. Hey, go ahead. What was you going to say?
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, certainly some things that people don't agree with, and that's okay. Ultimately, we have to find our own truth. But certainly I do recommend, like, finding your own truth and expressing it, even if others do disagree with it, or they just don't prefer to grow in that way. Because definitely I recommend people to follow their dreams in whatever way they're inspired to.
That's what I'm always telling them. Your truth may not be my truth, but at least it's yours. You found what you want to believe, but then expect it to change, too, because we're always growing and adding more information. Mm-hmm. But each one has their own interpretation, their own truth.
Right.
Yeah, that's a very good point, is that we are growing, and that things that may have been true for me before may not be now.
Yeah.
And also together, and this is a little bit of my scientific side, but I think that, you know, some things we can find out and maybe even, quote-unquote, prove true in a certain sense. Like, if extraterrestrials land on the White House lawn, then the concept that we are not alone in the universe will be an established fact and not just something that many people believe in or have experienced in some forms. And similarly, if we could figure out, like, maybe through subatomic analysis through our supercolliders and so on, we may be able to find higher forms of matter and realize that, oh, the astral plane really does exist and we can measure it and communicate with it in a fully objective manner.
But, you know, I've been told, too, there's no amount of proof for a skeptic. So they said, you know, I always say, why bother? Because no amount of proof will ever prove anything to them. And the same way, a true believer doesn't need any proof. So
yeah, that's very...
we present it, and if they accept it or not, it's up to them.
Yeah, because certainly there are people that no amount of evidence will convince them one way or the other, where
yeah.
there's still, like, you know, flat earth people
mm-hmm.
out there. And so, indeed, but certainly at least being able to investigate more, because I definitely am inspired by spiritual aspects and very much like investigating the areas in them to learn more about them. And yes, sometimes, like they say, that sometimes scientific theories last until, you know, the next generation, because the people that had certain views, that they're stuck with them for that incarnation. And so it's not until the next generation comes by that are exposed to new ideas from birth that it becomes normal.
Yeah, because there's so many out there that don't want you to rock their boat. You know, what? Even if we don't think it's true, it's what they were raised in, and they don't want to change their mind. They feel very comfortable in their belief. And like you said, it won't be maybe their children will change, go a different direction, but they don't want to really explore anything.
That's their right.
Yeah, it's their right. They have free will to do it. But even if they have the proof right in front of them and all the information, they're not going to look at it because they're secure in what they understand.
Yeah, and evolution takes time, and sometimes we are frustrated with the pace that it seems like it takes our world to grow, but we can take comfort in knowing that we are growing gradually from generation to generation, and even within ourselves, if we choose to take advantage of the opportunities that we have in this life. And so, yes, sometimes it takes the children or the teenagers, figuratively speaking, to learn wisdom, but it does happen, and that is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I'm noticing it more and more now when I lecture, because I lecture all over the world, is that it's this young generation, I'm calling it the internet generation, they are more accepting of these ideas. It's like it's opening up. We call
it... Well, they were born with it.
Yeah.
Again, like he's saying.
Yeah.
The rest, you know, others, it came within our lifetime, and so it was something we had to, right, and it was where they're born into it as a matter-of-fact thing, so.
Yeah, the older ones that had to change their whole way of belief, and that makes it a lot harder. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they're much more accepting, this new group is, and the questions they ask at the lectures are very advanced, mm-hmm. some of the questions are. So I can see it changing anyway.
Yeah, and with my own computer background, I would say I'm sort of the internet generation, maybe on the early parts of it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Probably.
But
also, you're an astrologer, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. And, like, I wrote the free astrology program Astrolog on the computer, and... that has been used by a number of people over the past two decades.
What is that, a computer program so they can work out their own horoscopes or what?
Yes, and it's relatively notable because it's free and downloadable from the internet. And it's basically just a program that allows you to compute your astrology chart, just like Solar Fire or any of the other commercial programs out there, or free
uh-huh.
websites these days. And yeah, you can get your chart and a simple interpretation for it. And nowadays with the internet, it's easy to get your chart cast, but in like the early 90s, it was a little bit harder. I mean, computers were not as advanced or as fast or as readily available.
That's the truth, and that's only been 20 years.
Oh, and now they're changing daily. Mm-hmm. The computers are just going so fast. that every time one of ours wears out, you got to buy a whole new one. There's no mm-hmm. sense in fixing it. They're changing so fast.
Yeah, the computers are like a reflection of our society as a whole. The computers are changing and transforming just as we are in these unique transformative times, going through, you know, so much growth and so much transformation in such short times.
But also, everything is speeded up, too, so that explains why the computers and all of science is really going faster. Everything is speeded up, time.
They're saying it's reflective.
Yeah, that's what I meant. It's reflective of that, too, that everything is moving faster.
Yeah, so certainly with time moving faster, definitely something I remind myself is to still be able to relax and not get caught up in it too much. In other words, still being able to grow and serve in the ways I can, but to not get, like, either carried away or overwhelmed or whatnot.
That can be a challenge sometimes, can't it?
Yes.
I think that's my challenge.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it's a challenge for many of us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess in many things it's like a balance.
Pardon?
Oh, I was saying it's just like a balance that, you know, we want to do what we need to do or do what we came here for, but not overdo it or not, I guess, lose track of the fight that ultimately it's all an illusion and that we are all one and that and realize the inherent perfection of the universe.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's like like a tightrope walk kind of.
Yeah, that's what I'm always telling everyone, that this is just an illusion, it's just a game, it's just a play. Why get so caught up into it? But, you know, we are, because we're trapped in the illusion of time, and it is harder to pull back and see that it's not real.
Well, but it's... Well, that was one thing I was struck in one of the statements you made, was that that's one of the ends we can go to. It's all an illusion, so who cares anyway, you know? Or we can get totally wrapped up in it, and in the drama and the emotions and everything. And it's in keeping the balance somewhere in between, because we did come here for a reason, to learn things on this plane. So we created the illusion for
the
reasons.
Drama, for the
right.
stage, to play it.
Right,
on.
So it's like, okay. But I guess that's the balance in remembering when it gets really hectic is, okay, I did create this. It is an illusion. I can make it what I want it to be. So pull it into that form. But
yeah, I do like the analogy of us being on a stage where it's like you can still put effort into giving as good a performance as we can, but also realize that it is just a performance and we are just playing a particular role, even if it's a role that we care about.
Mm-hmm.
And we can rewriting the script as it goes along, and we can rewrite it if we don't like the way it's going.
That's a very good point.
Because we are the director, producer, actor, and scriptwriter.
Yeah, I think the point you made, the like where I find my challenge is you get overwhelmed. And it's like when all these things just keep rushing in and they just keep all the changes and everything. And like you say, you know you're here for a reason. You're trying to accomplish what you're working on that. And then it just all keeps moving. And I think that's probably where it's coming from. It could become overwhelming. So it's like pull back, you know. Take a breath, something.
Yeah, nurture the self when needed. It's like a balance where, especially in relation to oneness, self and other is definitely something that has a razor's edge between them, where we want to, and ultimately, on a high level, there is no difference between them. We are all, it is all one big being where... But so we can realize that we want to nurture the self, but also serve others, and not swing too far one way or the other.
Right.
Because, you know, one way is just selfishness, mm-hmm. but the other is someone who's so self-sacrificing they give and give and give, and they wear themselves out and burn themselves out, and that
right.
doesn't
no
really
good to anybody. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it is hard to maintain that middle road, the balance between mm-hmm. the two.
Yeah, and so we shouldn't be too hard on ourselves if we do make mistakes, because that's part of of what life is all about. Or, and in that sense, you know, we learn from mistakes, which means that, in a sense, were they really mistakes, quote unquote?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they were just learning experiences or learning opportunities. How about that?
Because that's what I found. They said there is no right, there is no wrong, no bad, no good. It's just experiences and lessons. And what did you learn from the situation?
Yeah, or an analogy I like to use is that of a maze, where I very much like mazes and labyrinths, and that's another part of my background, where I see a lot of spirituality in both mazes with choices in them and labyrinths that's like a single meditative path that one can walk on,
yeah.
Where one often sees labyrinths in churches and such. But in a maze, when navigating from start to finish, like we are all navigating the maze of life, then there's sometimes we run into dead ends, and sometimes we find shortcuts, and there's a lot of good analogies in a maze to life. And so sometimes you hit the dead end, but if you go through a maze without hitting any dead ends, then you should be doing harder mazes.
Oh, good point.
Of course, it all comes down to choices anyway. Everything is a choice. But
but if it's too easy, you're probably not doing very much.
That's what I was always told. If it was easy, it wasn't worth doing. But you're always comparing everything to a game, too, and how a master gamer makes it harder and harder.
Right. Otherwise, it's not challenging, and what's the point? I mean, we love to challenge ourselves. That's what we do. If you're not, then I'd say you're probably very bored with life. And if you are, why are you here? I mean, this is like, what's the point?
Relating it to life, sometimes I tell myself that if you go through the day and you didn't experience a negative emotion, then maybe we should be challenging ourselves more or doing something more significant. Mm-hmm. Where, sometimes we spiritual people, we think, I don't want to be angry or upset because those are negative emotions, and I should be positive as a light worker. But really, our emotions have positive messages for us, and so indeed, if we can, if we're not having that struggle in our life, then maybe we should question: do we want to, do something more?
Mm-hmm. But if people, if they think they're on the right path, don't think they should have any negative emotions. They thought they've overcome all of that.
Yeah, but that's what I've heard. Emotions are like a guidance system. How do you feel about that? I mean, when you're saying negative, I mean, to learn from them, okay, is it because they're, it's like it's trying to show you something. That's what I find. It's like there's something in this. What is it trying to show me?
Exactly. And that is indeed, because emotion is like a reaction to something. It lets us know how we perceive something, which is like a sense, like our five physical senses or our extrasensory senses.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so in that way, I mean, again, there's no good, there's no bad. It's a tool. It's something that we're using, mm-hmm. and it's a reflective mechanism.
Well, that's what I've been taught, that Earth, it is the most challenging planet in the universe, but you come to Earth to learn emotions and limitations. So that's what makes it difficult for some people, because the other planets, they don't experience emotions like they do here. But it is something we have to learn to deal with.
Yeah, being human on this planet.
I'm sorry.
So just being human on this planet is a unique, balance, to use that word, between the matter and spirit, where we do experience the emotions, and we also experience spirituality, and we have thoughts, and we have bodies, and all those are mixed together and balanced, which is quite unique in the universe.
Yes, it is. That's what they said, we're the most challenging planets in the universe. And Julie always has a good thing that she puts there about what you tell
well,
about that.
And this came from another one of our authors. She got through her messages that she receives, and it is the most challenging planet. This is the most challenging planet of the of this universe, and then this is the most challenging universe of all the universes. So, I mean, right there, you know there's something special or whatever about this planet. Okay, it's ultra challenging. And so in order to gain passage here, just to even get on this planet, because of the challenging situation, you have to be a master manifester. Not just anybody could come here. So it's like, okay.
Wow.
So we know when we're coming in, we are going to have difficulty.
Yeah, it was designed that way. I mean, we designed it for probably for our entertainment purposes, but for our learning purposes, definitely. So.
But indeed, I definitely do appreciate those on this planet, and even those who, when you have the bad challenges, and so I see many people around the world having various struggles with tyrannical governments or earthquakes or flooding or tornadoes, and so certainly our heart goes out to them. But mm-hmm. In a sense, I'm in a way in awe or just that they go through those things.
Right.
And mm-hmm. because, you know, many of us, we may be here on Earth, but we have easier lives or you know, less challenges that we're being experienced. And so, but we should realize that, you know, on this Earth, we do have those challenges or what you might call negative experiences. That is pretty unique. And so if you want to have such a challenge, then we should, not say do it while we can, but just, I guess I just have a certain appreciation for all the brothers and sisters on this world and all their unique stories that they have.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we're all here to learn. That's the main thing. And so we made it difficult for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Walter, for the conference, what are you going to focus on? You know, do you have anything particular from the book that you want to speak on at the conference, or what?
Oh, absolutely. And my talk at the conference, which, if I understand it correctly, will be on Sunday morning, June 12th. And
I don't have the program in front of me, but that's probably right. Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm the first speaker that morning, and I'm titling it A Journey Through the Universe, where it will be focusing on the aspects from the book that deal with levels of consciousness, starting pre-human and going up through the various like elemental kingdoms, minerals, plants, animals, and reaching to the what we call human levels of existence, and then through the long journey of being human through developing our emotions and minds and qualities, and then finally going through the spiritual path of being human, like what things involve, how do we grow spirituality, what does that mean, and how does that grow up into like saints and master levels and so on, and then concluding with post-human, like what is it like when you're quote-unquote ascended, and so like what is it like for planets and stars bringing it back to oneness, the macro levels, the macrocosmic levels of growth.
And so when you finally graduate.
Yeah, like post-graduation, like what is graduate school like, so to speak.
Uh-huh. So you're going to do the full evolution from beginning to end, I guess it would be.
Yeah, and try to compress
circle,
that.
Full circle, as we always mm-hmm. call it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Try to compress that into an hour where, like, from an atom to divinity.
Ah, yeah. No challenge there, is there?
But, yeah, we always call it full circle because we started with God, and it's going full circle to return. after you've done all of these things and gone through all the classes and finally graduate.
Mm-hmm. And then that brings to question the, like, what is the purpose of it all? And it's like the universe is like a divine expression. And through going through this long learning process, it's like a beautiful painting or a beautiful garden that has been grown. And through that journey, we develop these qualities, or it allows the divine or all that is, or whatever you want to use to call it, to get to know itself better.
But it is a school, and that's why sometimes people ended up taking the same class over and over again, the same grade, because they don't pass it. They can't go on to the next one until they pass that one. And that's when they incur karma, and they have to keep taking the same grade over and over again. It would be so much easier just to go through it and graduate, but it doesn't make it harder, and it takes longer.
Absolutely. But at the same time, I wouldn't say that it's a school, but at the same time, there's a lot of joy and beauty on this physical earth. And so in addition to, like, math class and English class, there's art class.
Yeah.
I would say. And therefore, there's, expression and unique things that we can do on this world, which we grow and learn from just as much as the more difficult or challenging things. I think that sometimes we can learn and grow from joy just as much as we can from pain or struggle.
Mm-hmm. If people only take advantage of it. Some of them think they just have, even in daily lives, they think they just have to work all the time and don't take any vacations or time off or even to look at nature itself. But that's where they're really missing a lot. But there is a lot of joy and beauty if they would just take the time to look at it.
Indeed, and definitely being able to take advantage of the opportunities we have. Like, if we're inspired to do something, then jump on it and pursue that dream, even if it makes us uncomfortable a little bit. Because certainly, like writing my book, that was not easy, but just had to basically sit down and do it. And I'm sure there's a lot of other people that could write books out there, but or express themselves in some other way, but either they're like afraid to, or they can't really get themselves to get the discipline to go out and do it. And so certainly if more people could awaken to like what they really are or what they're really inspired to do, I think that would greatly improve our world.
But that's the thing. People don't want to do things that take a lot of work and take effort. When I speak at writers' conferences, they always ask, how do you write a book? So, well, you put the pencil to the paper. You've got to start. But a lot of them don't want to do it. They find many other excuses not to sit down at the computer or the typewriter because it all takes effort. But I've got to the point where I cannot not write. Mm. That's when they say you become a real writer, when it's such a compulsion. You'd rather write than eat. Then you finally become a writer. I don't know if that applies to you or not, but that's the way I've always felt about it.
Well, I'm definitely inspired to create. And and so
it's creation, too, is also art in many other forms. You know,
yeah, like writing is art.
Right, creating.
A good book I would call a work of art, or a good lecture, or a good conference.
There you go. Good plug there.
Okay.
Yeah, there's lots of forms of creativity and ways to express yourself. So.
But in my work, they keep saying that. Take time to smell the roses. Enjoy yourself. Bring joy into your life. Not just work all the time. You've got to have fun, too. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, what's it all about? You end up growing old, and you get to where you can't do anything. So you might as well do it where you can. Combine the two.
Indeed. And stopping and smell the roses, I agree, is a very good thing, where it's like nature is a great work of divine art, I would say.
Absolutely.
Oh, beautiful, yeah. Because we have it all around us. I've got a pond in the front yard, and we got trees all around the house, and we're on top of the mountain. Deer come up into the front yard every morning, so I love being here in nature when I'm not.
You have who is that painter that that does all the nature scenes? I can't think of it, but I was thinking she has that painting every morning when she she's got these picture windows, so that's her view every day is this painting.
So. It's
cool.
But I travel so much, I like it when I come back here. This is my retreat where I recharge my batteries because I like to get back to nature instead of being in the energy of a big city. But you're in Seattle, so you're right in the middle of a city, aren't you?
Yes, Seattle is a big city, but one thing I very much like about it is that it is very close to the water and the mountains, and we can see the Olympic Mountain Range on one side and the Cascade Mountain Range on the other side, and so like ski slopes or hiking trails are only just an hour or so away.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, we've been to Seattle. It is beautiful up there.
It is. Yeah.
Up in the Space Needle. And the mountain in the background, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Right. But, that's what I said. I didn't want to focus on any one subject in the book because there's just so much that we could be talked about. Because you do cover a wide range. And that's because you just wanted to know more? Is that why you kept exploring so many different subjects and topics?
Yes, and just because definitely I have a thirst for learning and knowing about myself and the universe more. But also for the book, I wanted it to be a summary of the path to bring the different areas together like a rainbow. And so to cover, like, there's basically two halves of the book where the first half deals with the facts or information describing things like the astral plane or reincarnation or initiations or kingdoms of nature. And then the other half is more like practices, like how do we, and philosophies. So just understanding the concepts of oneness and love and what does evil mean and, or how do we grow and how do we evolve our emotions and minds. And so definitely there is a structure to the book.
Can we ask you a question, Walter? This you mentioned evil there, and that's been coming up a lot lately.
Our emails.
So I think it must be something that's, you know, coming to the surface and needing to be dealt with or whatever. I'm not sure the words aren't right there, but it's like when things bubble up, you know, then it's like you've got to look at them.
Mm-hmm.
And can you give us your perspective or your view on evil? Since you mentioned it there.
Yeah, I mean, you could say evil is backwards living, in a sense, literally, because in the English language, it's the word live backwards.
That's true.
But really, I would just say that evil is an action that makes growth or comfort take longer or be less than it would be otherwise. In other words, it's sort of this what I would call a mistake or a dead end in the maze where someone takes an action that is more selfish or destructive as opposed to serving the group or being creative. And and because of that, then there is that little retrograding or having to reconstitute or having to reorient or relearn, which is, you know, it's all temporary. And so I don't believe in anything anything that's inherently evil, but just that you know, we all have our own little mistakes or times when we don't behave as loving as we should or whatnot. And so it's just something that we all just grow out of over time, where it's kind of like if evil is darkness, then as we each grow and become more light beings, so to speak, as the light raises, the darkness becomes less visible.
Very well put.
Yeah, because you believe the same way we do, but we get so much that they keep saying you can't deny evil spirits exist and all of these horrible things. But we believe that it's all energy. This means that the energy can be used in a negative way. But that goes back to the person who is using
it. Right, and like you're saying, not moving in your most positive manner. You know,
yeah.
then you're, you know, because that's negative is opposite of positive. So I mean, or alter than positive. That's not.
Yeah.
My words are escaping me tonight, but I'm hopefully my meaning is getting through. But
it's like, you know, what does the person learn from it? Of course, they do incur karma by using the energy in a negative way. But what do they learn, and what do other people who are observing all of this? What do they learn? So it's all about lessons in that way too. But that's what we have a time when people email us and they don't believe that our definition.
Yeah, and I guess we all have our own views, but and I guess they have their own right, because certainly, you know, I didn't develop my own views on evil overnight. I had to think about them for years, and then before finally like writing them down in Evolution of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are the same things I've found, and that's why I know it's our truth anyway.
Right, and like you said, I mean, I think it's part of the growth process. It's what you have to move through as you're growing. I mean, because it is something you have to look at, and because it's a part of ourselves. So, we finally see it for what it really is. But maybe it has to take on these manifestations first until we can actually deal with it.
Because I don't want to go in that direction, because I don't want that kind of karma. I don't want to have to pay all that back again.
Mm-hmm.
We may have been in other lifetimes because we have to experience everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely don't want to have to come back and repay karma like that with the people, too, involved.
Yeah, and sometimes I don't use the word evil and good. Well, I mean, I do in some cases, but it can create like a black and white duality judgment where sometimes there's more shades of gray. So I use the words like negative and positive, or connecting or repelling or hate and love. Because, you know, sometimes like when there's a disagreement or a fight, it's not like always one side is good and the other side is evil. Very often they both have their own ways that they co-created the situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then they both can learn to, you know, learn forgiveness or increase love in their hearts. And so sometimes there can be a little difference between where one can have a more positive approach to it, but still, we are all growing,
yeah.
And we're all increasing our light and love.
It all has to do with lessons.
Right.
Okay, Walter, I'm watching the clock, and the hour has flown by.
Wow.
And so we are coming to the time that we're going to have to sign off. But I just want to remind everybody, now Walter Pullen is going to be one of the speakers at our conference.
Yeah, and Walter, I'm trying to remember if you have a website or something. How would you want people to contact you if they have questions?
About the book or anything.
Yeah, you can visit my website, which is at astrolog.org. And astrolog is just astrology minus with no Y on the end. So it's the name of my program.
Oh, so the same word as astrology, but
just
leave off the Y.
Okay. So
yeah,
astrolog.com?
Astrolog.org, O-R-G. And on there, you can download the program and play with Mazes and Labyrinths, and there's a point or two where to get Evolution of the Spirit as well.
Great.
So if anyone wants to contact you and wants to find out about the book or ask you any questions, they can check in on that.
Yes, that's the
astrolog.org.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Or they can also check with our website because we have the books for sale there.
Mm-hmm.
But the conference is going to be June the 10th through the 12th in Rogers, Arkansas, the John Q. Hammond Center. It's the largest venue in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And we're expecting a huge crowd again this year. If anybody wants more information about that, check our website, which is Ozark Mountain, but it's abbreviated, OZARKMT.com, or you can just put in DoloresCannon.com,
right.
And you'll get into that.
Yeah, it'll lead you over there to it. Mm-hmm.
Get all the information you need about the conference, and people are signing up, and I think it's going to be as big or bigger than last year.
That's our intent.
And the vendors are welcome. We have a lot of vendors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Walter, we're coming to the end, so we're going to have to sign off here. Thanks for coming on as a guest tonight.
Oh, thank you, and it's been an honor.
And we'll be seeing you in just a few weeks now.
Mm-hmm. Look forward to it.
Okay. So yeah, now I'm going to. Okay.
Yeah.
So now we're going to say goodnight. So goodnight, everyone, and thanks for listening.
Love.
Good night.